had the privilege this week of teaching at Northern Seminary in the Chicago area, and I'm very happy to report that God has lots of good people that are doing ministry and are preparing to do ministry better. It was a very intense week working with doctoral students trying to put together the last stages of their thesis design, and it was a good experience. And it also gives me the chance to keep my eyes open for the person that God has for us next to fill this pulpit. And that search is beginning in earnest this year, so we are looking forward to that as well. I've been spending considerable time praying for Jerry and Diane Ball, and now that Jerry has passed, that's a major step in our lives. I've noticed that when I've been praying for him, I've been walking around the church and touching the wood, because just about half of the wood that you see here is things that he made, ways of loving his church and loving his church building. And I hope that you will join me to celebrate his life and to support Diane and Christine and the rest of the family. We were truly blessed to have Jerry Ball as a part of this church for decades and decades. Before we begin this message, it's always good to tell a true story, don't you think? So this is a true story about the Hartgerink family, specifically Colin, who always has questions, and asked his dad, Todd, a question one day. Colin asked his father to explain the differences between irritation, aggravation, and frustration. So Todd, being a very gifted, intelligent man, I said to Colin, watch this. And he picked up the telephone and he dialed a number at random. When the phone answered, Todd said, may I speak with Alf, please? Nope, there's no one called Alf here. The person hangs up. And so Todd looks at Colin and said, that's irritation. Then Todd picked up the phone again and dialed the same number and asked for Alf a second time. No, there's no one here called Alf. Go away. If you call again, I shall telephone the police. End of conversation. So Todd looks at Colin and says, that's aggravation. So Colin says to his dad, what's frustration? Todd picks up the phone, dials the third time, and says, hello, this is Alf. Have I received any phone calls? That's frustration, and that's your true story for the day. So, a year ago, we surveyed the Bible. We went through 31 weeks, and we studied the major themes of the Bible in chronological order. Last summer, we answered lots of questions that came to us from our study of the Bible. And then in the fall, we began to apply it in our series GFF, God's Friends Forever, based on the book by an author that I wanted you to become familiar with, Brian McLaren, who wrote the books Naked Spirituality, and the lessons from the book are things that we responded to in the fall messages. In fact, the response was good enough that we decided that we would finish the book and move on to the second half. The second half takes us to some places that we didn't go in the fall. And today we begin to deal with some of the difficult times in our spirituality, in our relationship with God. What happens when we have trouble connecting with God? What happens when we know what we know and we have difficulty connecting? So our series is called GFF 2.0. We're back for the second half. God's Friends Forever, second time around, Brian McLaren. Now we're going to deal with some of the tough stuff. What do you do when you feel alone, when you feel that God has abandoned you? Where do you go? What do you do? Now you may correct me, but I believe this happens to all of us from time to time. We dial up God, and he doesn't seem to be picking up the phone. We pray, we ask, we plead, we cry. And if we're getting answers, we can't find them. And they're certainly not the answers to the questions that we have or the needs that we have. What do we do when God, who assured us that he is always there for us, when it doesn't feel like he's there at all? What do we do? Sometimes our aspiration disintegrates into exasperation and even into desperation. Kind of like irritation, aggravation, and frustration. We hope for things that we don't see any fulfillment for at all. When it seems like God is ignoring us. We wonder if we've done something to offend God, if it's some sin that we have in our life and that God has turned his back. Sometimes we experience times like this as a community, as a whole, as a church, or as a city. We are desperate for God's help, and nothing seems to be moving, and nothing seems to be happening. If we're going to be honest about spirituality, if we're going to be honest about our relationship with God, these are times that happen to just about all of us. And these are the kind of things that tend to recur. We go through seasons like this. We see this in the beginning of the 42nd Psalm. And I think Valley did a great job of putting the music together today relating to this this difficult kind of theme. And sure enough, the weather is gray. We're grieving a loss. And some of us have that cold that just won't let go. And we say, how long, O Lord? We see it in the beginning of the 42nd Psalm, where we read, as a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. When can I go and worship in your presence? Sometimes, as we sang earlier, we have a thirst which only God can quench. Some of us spend quite a big part of our lifetime trying to fulfill the needs that we feel we have and trying to make life good and fulfilling, and then all of a sudden realize that what we're lacking is a relationship with God. And then all of a sudden, even that goes silent. That sometimes our thirst is mockingly quenched by the salt water of tears. The psalmist goes on, day and night I cry, and tears are my only food. All the time my enemies ask me, where is your God? In fact, there's even a psalm that speaks of a God who loves us so tenderly that he counts our tears and has a container in his heart for them. But somehow, even given that assurance, we experience a disconnect with God. Remarkable, because we know that God cares. But every one of us goes through times of disconnect. Even when we experience frustration and humiliation, we know that God is never far away. But where is he? And how come I'm not hearing from him or sensing his presence? Brian McLaren, in his book, puts it this way. But sometimes there is no winning. There are no solutions, answers, or consolations in sight. The spring of simplicity and the summer of complexity slip away, and now the autumn winds of perplexity blow in a biting cold rain. I know that feeling. As a person with a concrete, sequential personality, I probably don't know that feeling as much as some. That's just another way to say I'm a blockhead and tend to trust my thoughts more than my feelings. But even for blockheads like me, there's a feeling that sometimes God just simply isn't there. And this is real life. Life itself is no longer simple. And the simple answers to life's questions no longer seem to meet our needs. Sometimes in my suffering, I'll go to someone and explain what's happening, and they'll say, "Oh, that's nothing." Those aren't the people to whom I go anymore when I'm suffering. Because it is really something. And often in churches, we've dealt with simple Sunday school type answers to hurts that are very real and very complex and sometimes go on for quite a while. Life's simple answers don't do it for life's real questions, and they don't meet our needs. The way that we practice our faith in times when we're hurting and disconnected changes. Our faith becomes less of a nest and more of a quest, where we're getting up and we're looking for God. Something which often we've expected to be easy becomes much more difficult. And this is real, real stuff. And I give you, as a church, lots of credit, because we can bring difficult messages like this to the pulpit, and we can be honest to God about it with each other. And in fact, that's a great step to begin to deal with these times. The popular author, Philip Yancey, I love his books. One of his books is called Disappointment with God. And if you wanted to go further on this kind of a subject, we have several copies of that book in our library, our church library, and I would encourage it. It's a good read. Philip Yancey says, "Whenever I get depressed by a lack of spiritual progress, I realize that my very dismay is a sign of progress. The very fact that we long for God when we can't sense God's presence, the very fact that we seek God's answers when we can't find them, indicates that we're looking in the right direction. The point is that even in tough times, we don't lose our desire for God. Even when it's unfulfilled, it is there, and it points us by instinct in the right direction." Let's continue with the 42nd Psalm, and I want you to read this verse out loud with me. "My heart breaks when I remember the past, when I went with the crowds to the house of God and led them as they walked along, a happy crowd singing and shouting praise to God." I used to, in a former church, in my office, I had a poster of a little girl dressed up in, it looks like she's dressed up in her grandma's clothes that she found up in the attic. And she's done a very childish job of putting makeup on and all these clothes. And the caption on the poster was, "Wear your Sunday face today." I'm glad that we don't come together and wear Sunday faces. I hope that our church grows to the point where it will be easier for us to share with each other when we're suffering, when we're having trouble connecting with God, that we don't wear a Sunday face, that we can be who we are, and we can deal with those things that are for real, because God is for real and our church is for real. God is much more real than a Sunday face, and church can be much more real than a Sunday face too. And that's an important thing for us and something that we can continue to strive for. Let's read one more verse out loud together. "Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise Him, my Savior and my God. Here in exile, my heart is breaking, and so I turn my thoughts to Him. My heart is breaking, and I turn my thoughts to Him. This is a great reminder that just at the time we feel like isolating ourselves, that's the time to kick it upstairs from our feelings to our thoughts. Where is God? I will look for God, and I will turn my thoughts to Him. God calls us to Him even when we can't feel Him. The very time that we don't feel like worshiping is the very time when we need most to gather with people and to worship God. The good news here, notice God is not saying you can't question Him. God is very comfortable taking our hard questions. God is very much with us when we are frustrated and we are disconnected, and God seeks to be there. But the question that comes back to us is like the question that we had so often when we were children. Why? But why? Why, God? Why? How long? Is this ever going to end? How long, O Lord? Lately, I've been talking with friends, and we're sharing the dates when we got this cold that won't seem to let go, this congestion that seems to come back even when we're feeling mostly better. It's just like that. How long? How long is this going to be? Let's go back to Psalm 42. To God, my defender, I say, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on suffering from the cruelty of my enemies? I am crushed by their insults as they keep on asking me, where is your God? We saw the movie. That was Job, by the way. That was the real footage of his life. And you could see that the simple words of the friends weren't relating to his hurt at all. Often the root of our pain is why and how long. It's hard to turn to God when you can't seem to find Him. And I think that we've all been there. The poet Annie Johnson Flint wrote these words. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways are all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But the poem concludes, but God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. The good news is that even in times when we feel disconnected, that God has not disconnected from us, and we can rely on God. So what happens when unfulfilled aspiration ferments into exasperation and boils over into desperation? If we don't find a way to deal with these kinds of frustrations and these kinds of hurts, we tend to turn them inward. Just like when we swallow our anger. And all of a sudden, these feelings can fester and they can become depression, which can actually alter our body chemistry and become a physical disease. So, what do we do? Let's try this. If we're going to have a genuine spirituality, a genuine walk with God, we need to make space for our unfulfillment. This week, we were doing some studying at the seminary, and there's a rich Hebrew word talks about our daily relationship with God, and the word translates most easily walking. We walk with God like God wanted to walk with Adam through the garden. We walk with God and we speak. And I know that Kathy and I have some of our best conversations when we're walking. Some of that's a guy thing. We guys tend to communicate better side by side often than we do face to face. But you get the image of God wanting to walk with us. But if you add just two letters to that word, you get the word for making rules. And so often we have cheapened our spirituality by making a bunch of rules. Rules which can be simple and hard and frustrating and do us no good at a time when we're trying to connect with God and feel God. God, in fact, is wanting to walk with us, not wanting us to make hard and fast rules that add to our frustration. We need to make some space for our unfulfillment. We need to be honest to God to know that there will be times that we will feel like that. And there are lots of reasons why. So, like the writers in the Bible, we hold on to our when, and we hold on to our how long, and we hold on to our where. And we lift those questions up in the presence of God, and we hold them up before God. We take the step of supporting our feeling with our knowing. So even at this moment when I can't feel God's nearness, I know that God's there. And the next thing that we do is we sit down with a trusted Christian friend. Not the one that says, oh, that's nothing. But the friend that's willing to sit patiently with us through this stage of life and step closer to God until the time when we feel God again. It's important for us to know that God doesn't play the blame and shame game. Humans do that a lot. Unfortunately, some churches do that, and I hope very much that we don't. But God wants to join us, not to shame us when we are hurting and when we are feeling disconnected. God actually wants to intensify the desire and the longing that we have for God and not to deny it, because it's okay to fear it, but it's okay to feel it, but we don't want to fear it. The truth is, a void becomes and creates the power to absorb. Without a void, a sponge wouldn't absorb moisture. It would lose its ability. A void creates space for sound and smell. And so when we have a spiritual void, we can actually use it as a time to prepare for the time when we do reconnect with God and when we do feel God's presence. Our spiritual voids actually create a space for God if we can be patient enough to walk through them. And we always remember that God is at work even when we can't see it. The final verse of Psalm 42 says this: why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Savior and my God. And we note here that the Bible is always very clear that we never hope for something we already have. The only time that we are filled with hope is when we are looking forward to something to come, something to happen in the future. We are looking forward to be reconnected, reunited, rebuilt, re-energized. That is the reason for hope. Now, this is a hard message to preach, and we have to stop here. Not because we're out of time, but if we want to deal with this issue legitimately, of the silence of God when God goes dark, we have to stop the message right here, to be honest with it, because sometimes that happens. Will we be back next week? I trust we will. Will God continue to work in our lives? Absolutely. Do the times of spiritual darkness and spiritual silence last forever? They do not. Is it important for us to grieve when we've had a loss? Absolutely. Do we have to grieve forever? Not necessarily. The truth is that what is not visible now is coming. And when you think about that as you read your Bible, that message comes over and over and over again. What is not visible now is coming. And some of us have lived long enough to see this cycle when something that hasn't been visible all of a sudden is. But the good news is that even on dark, dreary, foggy, wet January days, even when we're having a dark, dreary, foggy January experience with God, God is very much there and very much will work for the day when what we are not seeing right now will come into view. In our moments of silence and dedication, I want you to spend some time being honest with God.